This is the Word of God found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 through 34. It's the verses at the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I'd like to focus on two verses within these scriptures I've just read. Don't want to neglect any of them. I hope to touch on all of them. But two of them I really want to focus on. One is verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And then verse 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And this is the message or the principle that I would like to stress. In following the Lord Jesus Christ, try to practice the examination of yourself and the prioritization of others. That's what's on my heart. Try to practice the examination of yourself and the prioritization of others. What do I mean by that? What is examination? Well, it's to take a look at, to test, to assess. You know, if you are in a college and it's time for the final examination, you know what that means, a big test. It's a professor looking at your responses to try to determine how well you've learned the material he's presented over the semester. It's an examination. And the only examination that's taught in these verses is a self-examination. You're to take a look inward and to make a self-assessment, to kind of test yourself. See where you stand in regard to the Lord, His commandments, His fellowship, how you please Him. Take a look inside and test how you're doing. When you look at others, however, there's a prioritization. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. That means wait for other people. That means kind of let them go first. It means put their needs in advance of your own somewhat. There's a prioritization of others. Many of you probably heard the acronym that's used often in among Christians today, and I go along with it. JOY, J-O-Y, is an acronym for J for Jesus, O for others, Y for yourself. Now, that runs contrary to my flesh. I am very thoughtful about myself and not so much about others. And in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to do some denying myself, because that's the message that runs through the scripture. Is practice examination of yourself and prioritization of others, and then Jesus Christ above everything. Now, in our flesh, we often reverse these. We will practice prioritization of ourselves and examination of others. That is, we're kind of checking other folks out to see whether they measure up to our standards, whether we think that they're going to be to our advantage or disadvantage, whether or not we think we should spend any time on them, We practice examination of others and yet prioritization of ourselves. You know, what I need, and honestly, I do struggle with this. What I need tends to come pretty quick, tends to come pretty high on the list. And yet it's the opposite of what is being taught here. But let a man examine himself. That is practicing the examination of himself. And so, that is in this manner, let him eat of that bread and drink of that wine, telling the kind of mindset that is to go on during the communion. Examine yourself, and in this manner, and thus, and so, let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And yet for others, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. There's a prioritization of others. And I want to talk about the context of this scripture, but how important it is. Let me mention one other scripture in the middle between those two. That's verse 29. Therefore, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, that eating and drinking refers, and you'll see in context, it's talking about the communion, but it could apply to a good bit of things we do together, even a Sunday lunch. This would be a good principle to take with you. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily. I've mentioned this before, but please let me mention it again in case you've forgotten it or weren't here. That unworthily is an adverb. It's not an adjective. If that verse had said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, I would just have to say, brothers and sisters, I've called in another elder, and Sandy's going to stick around for communion, but I can't. I'll have to come back and pick her up afterward, because I'm not worthy to be part of this. If that had said unworthy instead of unworthily, I couldn't take communion. I'm not worthy to sit at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy to even wash your feet, let alone to have you wash my feet. I'm not worthy of that. I'm not trying to be humble. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm not worthy of that. And I don't need any damnation. Now, damnation, sometimes we use the term to talk about the final judgment, the lake of fire, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. But it doesn't always mean that in the Bible. Sometimes it just means a judgment, a condemnation. That is, the Lord pronouncing that your deeds are wrong and need to be done away with. And as a matter of fact, we read the kind of damnation right in the next verse. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. The way this church here was practicing examining others and prioritizing themselves was causing them actually to have physical health problems. Some of them had physically died, and the health of the church was suffering. We're not talking about being cast into the lake of fire. We're talking about a condemnation of their selfishness, and their selfishness was leading to poor health, death, and a breakdown of the unity of the church. That's a damnation. And if I go about the communion service in a manner such as they were going about it, it won't be good for my health or my days or my fellowship with the Lord or His people. I don't need any more damnation than I've already experienced. Well, I might need some if I turn from the path of the Lord. He may send me some, but I don't want it. I'll say that. And so I'm glad this doesn't say he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, because that would knock me out of ever sitting at the Lord's table. What this says, however, is not unworthy. It's not describing the noun. But where it says, but let a man examine himself and so eat, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthy. If it had said unworthy, it would be an adjective modifying he. It would talk about the person taking of communion. That's not what it says. It says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Now, those of you that know parts of speech and grammar, an adverb doesn't modify a noun. An adverb modifies what? A verb, thank you. An adverb modifies a verb. That is, it describes the action. And that's exactly what's going on here. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, unworthily modifies eateth and drinketh the verbs. That is, if you go about this, if you do these actions in a way that's not serious, thinking about the Lord, in a way that's not humble, examining yourself and tarrying for others, if you go about this in a selfish, casual, taking this as just something light, something that, I got to do it, check the box, that's unworthily. You're eating and drinking unworthily, and it actually hurts you. But when a child of God comes to the table of the Lord, and he is examining himself, tarrying for others, thinking about Jesus Christ, and discerning the Lord's body, then that's a blessing. That strengthens, that sobers, that helps, that lifts up, that humbles and exalts. It does something good. And so, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What are we talking about? Are you supposed to have a vision of Jesus Christ there with pierced hands and pierced feet? No, it's talking about something even more immediate. Let me read you about the Lord's body. If I go to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, it says in verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." If I go over to Ephesians chapter 1 and read the last two verses, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says in verses 22 and 23, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." What is the body of the Lord that you're supposed to be discerning? And discerning means recognizing. It means picking out from other things. You're supposed to be discerning or recognizing the Lord's body during communion. And the scripture there says, "Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." And Ephesians says that his body is the church. So what you're supposed to be thinking of as you go through the service is to be thinking of how each of the brothers and sisters that have been baptized into this body are the body of Christ manifested here at this place. And that's precious. Now you think, well, it's a small body. Well, even in the New Testament, you can look, there were churches of different sizes. If you went to the church at Jerusalem, go over to Acts chapter 22 and 23. James said to Paul, "You see, Paul, how many thousands of Jews there are that believe." The church at Jerusalem at that time, when Paul was coming into it, was a mega church. There were thousands spread throughout. But you know, Paul wrote letters like to the church at Colossae and to Philemon, and he wrote about the church that is in thy house. Some of these little towns in Greece, the church was small enough to meet in one of the brothers' homes. I don't know if they sat out in the courtyard or if he had a big living room or dining room or something where they gathered around. All I'm just telling you is that the body of Christ, where it gathers together, is not defined whether you have a dozen or whether you have 12,000. It's defined by what those people have gone through in taking up their cross, being baptized, and following Jesus Christ, and agreeing to meet together on a regular or on a determined basis in order to worship the Lord Jesus Christ as close as they can to the example and commandments in the scripture. That is the body of Christ. And when you eat and drink of the table of the Lord, you, in order to do that worthily, in a good way, you're to examine yourself, take a look within, and you're to discern, recognize the body of Christ in the other people there. That'll help you to tarry one for another. when you recognize these folks here together, met together in this way, are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need to recognize that as such. Now, the church at Corinth was having trouble doing that. Let me kind of quickly go through these verses so you can see. And we did this just a few years ago when we went through the whole book of 1 Corinthians. But let's quickly do it again, starting in this same chapter, 1 Corinthians 11, with verse 17. And Paul writes, by the inspiration of the Spirit there, in verse 17, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." So he's saying, I can't give you a commendation for the way you're getting together to do this particular thing. I'm going to have to criticize you. Verse 18. "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." That is, you're getting together for worship, you're getting together for communion, and you're not unified, you're dividing. That's the word that's reached me, and I partly believe it. Paul might have been saying by the Spirit, I don't judge that it's as bad as some people that are telling me. You know, a lot of folks are squeaky wheels, and news sometimes when it reaches you is worse than it really is. But Paul says, I partly believe it, that there's divisions that are among you. Verse 19, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you." That is, you have started to institutionalize some of these divisions so you can mark who you're close to and who you're not. What we would call cliques, or little groups, were forming in the church so that they could kind of tell who was in and out of the group they wanted to be close to. That's not the way a church. What if your body was that way? You know, if my hand decided it kind of wanted to stick to itself, I'd be developing gangrene pretty soon. I'd be getting blood poisoning. We'd be talking about amputation. We don't want little groups with. Now, I know you're especially close to your families. Good. That's a blessing. But when you're together with the church, reach out a little bit. Sometimes sit at lunch with somebody that's not your family. Sometimes switch out where you're sitting in the, you know. And if somebody switches out and they sit in your seat, don't get mad at them. Go find another seat, you know. That is, don't get into little groups or cliques within the church. Just how are you going to be able to discern the Lord's body if you're making little groups? Verse 20, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." You may be going through some kind of ritual, but it's not the Lord's Supper. Not if you're looking at it this way. Not if there's these divisions. Not if there's these little groupings. If you're going to eat the Lord's Supper, you're going to show His death till He comes. It's going to be done in love, and you're going to be discerning, recognizing the body of Jesus Christ by examining yourself and tarrying for one another. Now let's look at the verses that come, starting with verse 21, let me say that. "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken." This has gotten real bad in the church at Corinth. They were just kind of grabbing stuff before other people. And some people were grabbing so much they were getting a little tipsy, and others were going without. Can you imagine? I've never seen Union get there. Actually, I've never seen any Primitive Baptist church get there as far as, you know, the deacon comes by with the unleavened bread and you just kind of rake it all onto your lap, you know. Wouldn't that be bad? Or just saying when he comes by with the tray, well, you can just leave the tray. You know, I really like this. I've never seen it to that degree, thank God. But, you know, we can kind of start getting there a little bit spiritually, and we don't want to do it. Now, verse 22, "What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Do you expect, you know, here's private property and ownership taught. You got houses to eat and drink in. He doesn't condemn that. He's basically saying, if you want to eat a lot and drink a lot, do it at home. Don't come to church with selfishness and everything and shame folks. You know, somebody comes to our meetings, they hadn't brought any lunch. We want them to stay for lunch. If somebody, and some of you sisters, I know, I've spent a lot of time around, Y'all bring enough to feed the county. God bless you, and you're good to share it too. Sometimes you sent me home with food. That's the way we want to be. And I've been at meetings. Yesterday I went to a gathering, Southeast Georgia. We didn't bring a thing. But let me tell you, I went through the line twice and ate. Nobody said a word except for we're glad to have you here. That's the way the church of Jesus Christ should be. Paul says, I can't praise you in the way that you're acting right now. I praise you not. Now, verses 23 through 25, we hear a lot. Let me go ahead through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's what it's all about. We're remembering that night when the Lord met with his disciples on Passover, at the start of Passover. Because the next morning was still Passover, and that's when he was crucified. We're remembering that. We as the body of Christ are given a picture. It's the picture of the broken human body of Jesus Christ. And you know, even spiritually, as a body of Christ, as a church, we're pretty broken, aren't we? We're waiting to be raised from the dead so we won't be broken any longer. But we're broken right now. I'm broken, I'll tell you that. But we think of his broken human body and his shed blood. We show his death till he comes back, till he returns, as often as we do it. Verse 27 says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. You take this thing casually, lightly, greedily. You don't look within and examine yourself. You don't look without and discern the Lord's body and tarry for one another. Does you damage to take precious things? It's kind of like taking some precious jewelry. Maybe you take a 1-carat, 2-carat diamond ring and a Rolex watch, and you make biscuits and then play in the mud. Would you do that? Would you damage that precious jewelry? That would probably not. You probably take off your watch before you get in the mud. You might even take off that ring and lay it aside to get in the biscuit dough, because you're saving those for wearing for a time that is not quite so dirty. And it's the same thing when you got something as precious as what symbolizes the broken body of Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, discerning the living body of Jesus Christ in the church. When you're doing that, it's something precious. You don't want to do it lightly. You don't want to take it casually. You don't want to go about it greedily. You want to treat it as something important, high priority, precious. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to despise it. You don't want to just crank through it. You want to examine yourself and tarry for others. And that's what I hope we'll be able to go about today. Self-examination. You know, we all kind of have an inward life and an outward life, don't we? At least I do, so I'm assuming that you do too. There's a lot that goes on within. You know, there's dreams, there's hopes, there's prayers. Have a lot of conversations with myself. Some of them are pretty weird. Some of them are pretty self-congratulatory, and they ought not to be. Some of them are pretty guilty. Sometimes I get real down on myself, and probably those ought not to be so often either. But I do have them, you know. As a matter of fact, I have a hard time shifting from the inner world to the outer world sometimes. I'll be typing something up on the computer. I'll be reading. And Sandy will say to me, hey, what about this? And she'll start off reading something that's important. I really need to hear it. She really wants me to hear it, and it's important not only because she wants me to, but it's really something I need to hear. And sometimes I've even laughed at jokes that I didn't know she was telling. And then she'll mention that. We'll get to talking and I'll say something. She said, I just read you that. You know what's happened? I'm in my inner world. I'm reading the book. I'm typing something on the computer. And the first 3 seconds are lost to me. I said, now if it's important, say, Marty, listen to this. And then I'll start the battleship turned on that heading. I'm ready to listen to you. I'm out of the inner world. I'm in the outer world now, ready to receive data. Okay. Some of us are slow to shift that way. But there's things going on inside. And then there are things going on outside. I talk to her. I talk to you. You know, sing out loud. Go about yard work. Whatever it is. You do things that are outward. And you know, I don't know. Surely there's nobody that's just entirely outward. Surely just everybody's. But you know, when we get the most inward many times is when we're sick. When we're hurting. Our world constricts sometimes to our pain. I had a blood clot in my lung. The pain was, it was one of the worst pains I'd ever had. And during the night, my world was kind of constricting to what position can I take to draw the next breath? And, you know, and then when I got to the hospital, my world was constricting to how nice that morphine and that glass of ice water was. You know, it was just kind of coming. I was outward enough to tell Sandy, would you please take me to the emergency room, and then call my mom on the way to the emergency room. You know, that's, and in a church that's sick does tend to concentrate just within. You know, there's not as much outreach. There's not as much thinking of others. And yet there's a need for the within. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he lived his life, there's scriptures that say, and he spent the night on the mountain in prayer to his Father. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. You see that balance? There in the darkness of the night, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was God, fully God, but fully human, he had that life within the mountaintop. He was praying to his Father. Those thoughts. What, imagine what an infinity was inside of him. It's hard. I can't imagine. I can just try. And there communicating with God the Father was God the Son, who is the Son of Man, praying to his Father. But his life wasn't all inward. In the daytime, there he was in the temple. It was dangerous for him to do so. He was still teaching the truths of God's Word. And you have a life like that. Within, you're praying for things. You got your hopes. You're thinking of what you would like for God to hear you and do for you. And then you probably got these pats on the back within and condemnation and guilt and all that that you're wrestling with. But then there's outward things. You're cooking for us, you know. You're being here to encourage us. You're sending cards to other folks in the church. You're calling folks that you love. You're getting out and earning a living. All of those things. There's a balance. And it should be so within the church, too. There is that which is inward. We want to discern the body of the Lord. We want the Lord's Spirit to be among us. We want to be close. We want there to be love. There needs to be an outward reach even in the church, though, too. Invite somebody to come worship with us. Not because we're trying to grow the membership size, but because we think some of the good it's done for me might do you good. You might could use some extra friends. Probably do you good to hear the word of the Lord occasionally. And yes, we need help with the singing, but it might help your soul as well as your respiratory system to break loose into song. Come be with us. We will do thee good. There needs to be an outreach too. So there's the way you go. Self-examination is hard for me. I look inside many times before I'm taking that piece of bread or drinking that little cup. And as I examine myself and apply the Lord's standards to judge what my life has been like, it's kind of hard because I've fallen very short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I've come really short. Really short. I have disappointed myself so many times. and I've transgressed against the laws, the Lord's goodness so many times, and I start that self-examination process, it's so hard. And I think of those things which are so inadequate. But you know, if I keep going with that self-examination in a scriptural manner, sometimes the Lord will come to you and say, look a little deeper. And I can look beneath all those shortcomings and those sins and those transgressions and how I've treated people cruelly or neglectfully and look deeper. And there is something that I didn't put there. I didn't earn it and I didn't choose it. The Lord put there. It's this desire to be close to Him and to love others, to do good to others. And furthermore, even those things I've seen on the way down, examining myself and I find that I've fallen short and that I've even committed recent sins, I can hear the word of the Lord if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from sins, to cleanse us from our sins, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I know it's the truth. And that self-examination, I hit those shortcomings and things, it throws me right back up. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, shed for the remission of the sins of many. This do in remembrance of me. As I examine myself, it helps me to look at Him. You know, even in the hospital room, when you're sick and you're hurting, and it's like your viewpoint is kind of drawing in, you're thinking about yourself. How can I get out of pain? How can I do this? The hospital folks know you need to try to make yourself look out a little bit. So they'll put a television in the room. Sometimes there might even be a Gideon Bible. They'll let you have flowers and cards from friends. You know why? Because sometimes the best thing you can do for yourself is to look outside of yourself. Sometimes it takes your mind off the pain. And I hope we can do that for one another and for children of God that come among us to visit. Let's think about one another. Let's tarry for one another. And as we tarry for one another, maybe we can just get our mind off ourselves a little while. As a matter of fact, if we do the self-examination correctly, let's go on down deep enough till it causes us to think about the head of the list, Jesus Christ. Jesus first, others next, yourself after that. If we can practice examination of ourselves, and prioritization of others, that helps us follow our Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you.